hunting for that magical genie with piles of cash? Join Candace and her guests as they uncover financial secrets, have a laugh at past mistakes, and savor financial rebounds. Thank you for listening. Let's dive in and do something today that your future self will thank you for.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Money Flow Genie podcast. I am so excited to have Zach Knoll on here. First of all, Zach, I want to welcome you to the Money Flow Genie podcast.
Thank you for having me, Candace.
Thank you for coming on. You know, we were just chatting a few minutes before. Let me just tell our listeners who you are, and then we'll just deep dive right into it, pick up where we started off. So Zach is a founder of KZK Properties, and he's a tradesman turned investor on a mission to gain financial freedom. What a perfect guest for this podcast. After launching a successful automobile reconditioning business with his wife, Zach began investing in real estate to create the freedom of time and passive income. As a husband, father, and entrepreneur, he's passionate about personal growth and helping others break free from the mundane 9-to-5 and take back their time. This is going to be a great podcast. Zach, we'll be getting to your how we can get in touch with you near the end of the podcast. But welcome, Zach. I'm so excited to have someone like yourself on the podcast.
Yes, I'm excited as well. When I heard about you at Zoom at 8, Candace, I was like, I have to reach out. And I found you on LinkedIn. So I sent you that message and I was so happy you were willing to have me on as a guest. And I'm glad I get to share my story.
Oh, thank you. Well, one of the reasons why I started this podcast is that, you know, people are always out there talking about, you know, when I was, you know, in my financial journey, and people, they're taking pictures of themselves with their jets and they're putting themselves out there, but you don't hear people talking like, here, this is where I am. I'm not there yet, but this is what I'm doing. And this is what I've learned. And this is how I'm pivoting. That's the goal, because we're all working for financial freedom for some purpose. And usually, and commonly, it is for the time freedom, you know, just like you were saying in your bio. And I just wanted to be able to let people know that they're not alone in that process. And it's not an overnight quick fix. You can't do it. So it's wonderful to be able to have someone that's, you know, got the brick and mortar business working hard to achieve financial freedom for yourself and your family. And that juggling act of like, what do we add to our lives in order to be able to do that?
Yeah, and that's really is a tough question, and takes a lot of time to get there. There's no short way to the journey, and I'm still in it. I haven't achieved my financial freedom yet, but we have a focus and we have a goal on when we want to achieve that. And I know one of the portions of your show is sharing that a big achievement that we've accomplished recently, and this was really my first big step into real estate. Was towards the end of February, we closed on a 39 pad campground as well as a 23 unit apartment. So that's, as far as real estate goes, that's been my biggest step into that space. Now, it took a lot of work to get there, and we'll cover that that in the show, but that was a serious accomplishment, and I'd be lying if I said my wife and I were not very excited about that.
Oh my God. So are you doing these as with partners in the JV, or is this more these two transactions, were they syndications with passive investors?
So this one we ended up syndicating, and initially I had plans to JV, but it worked out well as a syndication. The numbers worked out great. So going into the future, I'm open to both routes. It just depends. It depends. Like, so my primary business is definitely geared around hailstorms. Really, we repair a lot of hail damage. So the more hail there is, the more money I have to pump into these deals for a JV. If there's less hail, which maybe insurance companies are hoping that's the case, but I'm kind of over here thinking otherwise, but that's a whole nother discussion. But so if there's less sale, syndication is going to be another great avenue for us to continue acquiring. We all run out of money at some point on these deals. And honestly, a great portion, coming from like a trades family, a blue collar background, I didn't even know that investing in real estate was legitimately an option. I thought the only choice we had was stocks, and you eventually retire at 65, maybe. And if you do, you retire poor. You plan on having less income. So it wasn't until that long ago that I really learned that there's other options.
Oh my gosh. Well, first of all, I want to go back just to the self-paced showcase for a second and hold that space for you because that is not an easy undertaking to, first of all, acquire and all of the due diligence that's required. And I just have to say, the courage to move forward and take that step to jump into real estate at that level, and particularly with what you just said, where you came from. So I just want to congratulate you and your wife for having the courage to do that, because there's a lot of fear and imposter syndrome that comes with that. Tell me a little bit about how you navigated that and how you and your wife, obviously it sounds like you're both on the same page. Like, how did you do that? How did you come together? Were you both looking for the financial freedom, or did one of you say, "Hey, what do you think about this?" Can you tell me a little bit about all of that?
Yeah, absolutely. So, like, definitely, there's definitely a serious case of imposter syndrome. I do struggle with that. I definitely, throughout my life, I've always been a very anxious person as well. Fortunately, I read a lot of audiobooks, different self-help books, things like that. Zig Ziglar was a huge factor in my life as far as helping me overcome some of my fears and what we're capable of. Honestly, my biggest supporter, and I couldn't do it without her, is my wife. Now, she has no interest in podcasts or things like that. That is not her scene at all, but we joke about it, but the background support. Like, she, for one, she puts up with me. That's not easy. That's an everyday task for her. And then she's got all my random ideas too, and she helps me narrow in on my focus and just accomplish my goals and remind me that I can do it. And because there's plenty of moments that I thought there's no way or I'm gonna fail at this. And I think we all go through that, really. It's not like one day you just wake up and like I'm gonna get an apartment today. Like that's not what I thought was capable. Honestly, I didn't even know up until it would have been end of. Towards the end, middle of 2023, that owning an apartment could be a reality. I thought, I don't know. Truthfully, I didn't give it much thought. I thought you had to be just born an ultra billionaire to own these things. And that was not the case for me. I didn't come from a wealthy background by any means. It just worked. Actually, I worked at, I don't know if you have them throughout the US, but a Shopko and customer service throughout high school and then Sears selling mattresses during college.
Exactly. I'm totally there with you. My background, my whole family, and even like you go back in ancestors and you look at the old census, that we were all farmers. And how ironic that, ended up landed in my lap, actually, started my own landscaping business and have been in it for 33 years. And I too was just like, okay, this is what you do. I had, at least there were entrepreneurs in my father was an entrepreneur. I knew what it was like to have the experience and watch having your own business. I didn't really understand the ins and outs of it, but Junior Achievement, I don't even know if it's still around. That was like what really taught me the business aspect for small business. But apartment buildings, I didn't even think about ownership. To me, I felt like, if I really think back at the time where I didn't know anything about it, I think I thought banks owned it, which in a way they do.
Yeah.
But so, yeah, I'm right there on the same page with you. And I don't think that many people really understand that the average person is encompasses the organizations, the LLCs that own these apartment buildings.
And what's so great about it is so anybody really can do it. You just using a self-directed IRA, it's an awesome way to get into these and like you're seeing tariffs right now plummet a lot of different portfolios, and that's where having your investments diversified helps. Real estate's probably going to be a little bit more sound against the different tariffs. It definitely does affect things, but it gives you different revenue streams.
Yeah, I'm also a contractor. I get the emails from the lumber yards that saying, how any tariffs, if they've affected the costs of any of the lumber and the hardware and such like that, on an update on a weekly basis, so that obviously builders will be able to. It's going to hurt the building industry, that's for sure, because there's a certain point that it won't be cost effective unless it's just purely a vacation second home for someone, and even that will. limit the amount of building that can happen if these heavy duty tariffs really do start hitting, particularly from Canada, because that's where we get most of our lumber from.
Now, how long do you think it'll take before we start seeing these effects in the building industry? Have the lumber yards that you've been in contact with given any sort of idea, or they're just hopeful things are going to work out?
You know, it's a guessing game, just like for everybody. It just depends on if they decide to implement or not. They're projecting like a 15%, that's what they're saying right now, a 15% increase. I don't know about you, but I've noticed that whenever there's an increase in something, it's pretty rare that it comes back down.
Yes.
Although I will say in lumber, it did. There was a time that during COVID and right after COVID, that a 2x4, which used to be an inexpensive piece of lumber to buy for the most part, was like, I think it was somewhere around like $1.98, and I think they went up to $6.38 or something a piece, which is significant when you're building something, a house. You're going to need quite a few of those. So they did come back down, but they didn't come back down to, the pricing of right before COVID. That's for sure.
That was as expensive as buying a dozen eggs.
Oh my gosh, don't get me started on that. I'm not a person that really watches the news that much, just because first of all, it's not real. You don't know what the facts are, and this is just my own personal opinion, everyone. I'm sorry, but it's so negative. It's like life is hard enough. I don't want to fill my head with more things that make me feel like I have to worry or be inundated with the advertisements that are telling me of some kind of ailment that I have. It's like, okay, all right, yes, let's take this medication with the not only will save me of a possible, migraine, but in the meantime, it's going to cause a heart attack and paralysis, and I don't need that in my life. I can make my own life complicated enough.
The side effects are worse than the initial pain you're having. Like you said, paralysis, and maybe you just have an achy joint. It's like, well, I guess I'll stick with that achy joint.
Yes, it's crazy. And it feels like, when you think about that, life is sort of like that. We have whatever our story is what we have to draw upon, but it's what we do with that story and how we apply that knowledge or experience in our lives. We don't have to keep replaying that story. And when I came, and I want to touch in with you on this as well, there got to be a point where I was like, this was a while ago, when I was like my mid 20s. I was like questioning, like, there's got to be more than just work until you die mentality. What is that? And getting out of my home environment, going to college, it opened, more doors. It opened more, opportunities. I got to see the different types of lives that people were living. And with that, I started to like look more. It's like if you see a car you want to buy and then you end up buying it, then you're constantly seeing it all the time, the same exact color, everything. You're like, what? Wait a minute. And it's the same sort of thing, is that once you become aware of something, then you see it often. And if you're really looking for it, for example, looking for investment opportunities, you're going to start driving down the street looking at real estate with a different eye. So, how about you? How have you come through just being, I'm not saying, not trying to demean your profession, but
No.
going from the working with automobiles to thinking about real estate? How did that become the avenue that you wanted to choose to seek your freedom with?
Yeah, and I'll just I really it started in 2020, and kind of like how we talked, Candace, like we both got to a point with lack of time really was a big thing. For me, it was ultimately my family is my biggest driver. I don't want to miss out on those events, and I knew I needed to change that. So just it but it wasn't a smooth path to get there. Like they always describe it should be a straight line. Well, I will say, and I will admit, there's been a lot of curves along the way, and that trajectory, it's getting there, but it hasn't been a straight path. So we're working on fixing that. I think there's always going to be some deviation there. But and 2020 was really when it started. COVID, actually, that was the year my wife and I, we got married early that year, partially because we were scared of just medical coverage between the two of us. We were living together at that time, and we'd been together for a while. And so then we got married in that spring. And that was just something like I think we had to like buy off the courthouse person to get our marriage certificate. Like we had to literally meet them in a parking lot in the back of the courthouse and give them cash for this license so our pastor could sign it. And so that was just a whole interesting event. But regardless, yeah, I don't even know what to say about that. It was legit
Yeah,
at the end,
is it a
but
real certificate, Zach?
it's real. The state did recognize it. So I still seriously think that money went right into his pocket, but I have no confirmation of that.
Think there when COVID happened and they were closing down, it's like I'm taking this stamp from
Yeah, well,
the courthouse.
we were scheduled to get married in July, and well, then COVID happened, so like things were shutting down, and we're like, okay, we really were like we've been together for like I hope my wife isn't listening because I can't remember exactly how long we dated right now, but like it was a long time. And so we're like, okay, let's get married. July. Plan the date. We had a regular normal person wedding planned, and all the COVID shut down. So my wife, she started calling courthouses to see if we need our certificate so we can get married. And they all told her no. And she's like, we can't get married. I'm like, all right, let me try. So I call our hometown courthouse. They said no. Called a few others, still no. So I called back to our hometown courthouse and I give them the sob story, like, what if we get sick? We can't get family coverage, you know, things like that. They're like, all right, I tell you what, just if you can meet us at like 2 o'clock in the back of the parking lot, the fee is, you know, $60 or whatever it was. I don't remember. That just be there at 2. Okay. So great. We show up at 2. We wait for somebody to walk out of the courthouse. We hand them cash and we get a certificate. And to the best of my knowledge, we are legitimately married. So
Oh my God, I love that. I hope that you told that story. So when you got, so you didn't have like a big, obviously a
no, we
vote.
could only have like our church because churches were shut down at that time as well. So we just had, I believe, it was our limit was 10 people we could have at the wedding itself, and then we didn't have a reception.
Oh, what a great story that you're gonna have for your child when she gets married.
I hope her.
The little glass, I can see it now. Clink, 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 clink.
I hope she doesn't have to pay off any courthouse person for their for her certificate. I really do.
Oh my God. That's priceless. That is a priceless story. Yes. Oh my God. So I've got so many visuals of a movie that is a scene of. That's like a movie scene.
Yeah, it was unique. And honestly, it worked out great because like I think we were the first person to ever profit off of a wedding. Like, 'cause like I will like we were gonna have a small wedding to begin with. Like, we're not very extravagant people. We live pretty cheap, to be honest. And but so we kept going to our we would just keep getting checks in the mail and we couldn't invite anybody and they all understood it because it was COVID. My wife Kelly, we were like fighting to get to the mailbox each day because it was just like who sent us a check now? And obviously our wedding cost like next to nothing because you couldn't she couldn't get a wedding dress necessary. She actually went to Walmart and bought like it was a pretty dress. It just wasn't It was way cheaper than a normal one. So regardless, yeah, we came out well on our wedding.
Oh, and so then, therefore, the down payment and the earnest money deposit right
We just
there.
set that little nugget aside. Yeah.
Yeah, oh, that's beautiful. That and well, and I love the fact that you actually utilize that money in a very productive way that will create generational wealth for you.
And you know, by no means did it supply like all of our funding for our future, but it was a good. So actually, it really, as we get into the story, that money was used for really. So So the year keeps going on. I'm in the auto body industry. I'm painting cars, and it was, and my wife is an RN, or wasn't, or still is an RN, just part-time now. But as you can imagine, so we were worried about my job, that it was going to start slowing down, and that was staying pretty steady. And actually her work was slow because they couldn't do surgeries, so she was getting a lot of time off and whatever. But then it started switching as COVID patients started coming in more. She was picking up with work, and the no driving, like most people couldn't dr or weren't allowed to be on the roads at that time, which, as you can imagine, is really bad for car accidents. If you can't drive, it's probably not going to be much work coming in. So I'm starting to get a lot of time off. I was commission based. I couldn't. So even if I was there for 40, it wasn't like I was getting paid 40. That wasn't how that works. And so I picked up, and this might relate to you a little bit, a part-time landscaping job. So I was doing a little bit of that, which, as it turns out, was really just like a handyman job. I was, you name it, I was. It was some interesting work, but it was good. It provided an income. It was then that it kind of clicked in my head, like, all right, there's more to life than this, because I'm working a full-time job, and now I'm after hours. I'm doing a part-time job. So I wasn't getting home until usually like 8, 9 o'clock at night typically. And it wasn't really I knew it wasn't a sustainable way to live and hit our goals. So then we started looking and just trying to figure out something else to do. And we had this paintless dent repair guy that would come to our shop and every few weeks, and we'd sub out all that line of work to him. So I thought, well, I could learn that. I could do that. And I'll work my W or continue working here and do that in-house for them, and that'll supplement our income. And so I found a program to join here in Minnesota, where I live, and that was about a 4-week program. And this was in midsummer when we decided and let my boss know that in December I'll be out for 4 weeks. I was planning on coming on the weekends to cover my normal workload as best as I could, and had another painter lined up to fulfill the rest of the work that wasn't getting done. And so that was all good, smooth sailing. December rolls around, and we found out we had some upper management change, and I ultimately was informed that if I left for training, I would not have a job when I came back and completed my training. We had also just found out that my wife was pregnant at the same time with our first, so we had some serious decisions to make. And it seemed like an unfortunate event at the time, but it was a fortunate that it made me we decided to go for it. It made me grow. I wasn't ready to be a business owner, to be quite frank with you. Like I don't even know what I thought running a business was going to be like, but yeah, through you figure it out. And I don't know how it was for you, Candace, if you knew exactly what you were doing when you first got into it, but I did not.
No, I didn't either. All I knew was like income, I have expenses, pay them, and repeat, rinse and repeat.
Well, you were ahead of me. You knew that you needed income. I hadn't even thought. I thought people were just going to be flagging me down from the streets saying, "Fix my car."
Well, I will say when I started, I'll be really frank, and it was mind blowing. I moved to where I am on Cape Cod because I was in graduate school in New York City, and then when I graduated there, I mean, originally, my master's was in fine arts, and I had worked my way through working at the zoos, building artificial trees and rocks, and I loved that job. It was really toxic though because we're working with a lot of epoxies. And so I wanted to live, and I'm being a country girl coming from Virginia, being in New York City was like, ooh, I'm getting to be a cranky person and I don't like this at all. So I came actually to Cape Cod on vacation and I'm like, I don't want to leave. This is perfect. It was like a little tiny city town, great art community, but surrounded by National Seashore and the water. And I was like, ah, this is great. And I already had a job that I traveled working with this construction company that went to different zoos to build exhibits. And so I didn't have to worry about what am I going to do for a living when I move here. Originally, I moved here and then traveled. And then that 1 year of traveling and staying, basically not traveling, you have a job and you're it ends up being like 6 months at one zoo to build, an exhibit or something. And so, but it's like living out of an empty apartment. You go into the thrift store to get, pots and pans. I mean, it was just not the way that I wanted to live. It was great to make the income and then come back here, but not, I like to be settled. I missed my studio, et cetera. So fast forward, I was working for, I wanted to be outside and I ended up getting a job for another landscaping company who ended up having to hire the future father and for the child that was to be born for their daughter. And so they let go of myself and the other woman. They didn't just like lay us off. They fired us. We were like, we just showed up one day and I was like, what? I've never been fired in my life from a job. What? Really? Why? And then they told us why. I was like, well, did you have to fire us? I don't understand the terminology here. So anyway, so I was walking just like really puzzled and actually quite angry home from, because it's a tiny town, it's only 3 miles long. So I was walking home and I ran into someone that owned an Airbnb that was going to hire that company. And he and I, we knew each other quite well. And so he said to me, what's wrong? And I said, and I got fired. And I told him the story. And he said, well, why don't you come and do it? I don't want to hire them. And I looked at him and I was like, okay. And that was it. It was like a puppy, like tipping their head, going, I can. And 33 years later, and doing very well, here I am. And it's those, so you think, so here's the opportunity where you were going to lose your job, just like me. I lost my job. And man, what a blessing that was.
Yeah, it doesn't seem like it's going to be at the time. You think this is literally the world's ending. This is
Yeah.
it. Like I'm done for. Everybody's going to think I'm a failure. And you really, I mean, it all comes down to your own mindset. You have a choice. You could have like let that be the end of you, but you didn't. It actually was the best thing that ever happened to you in the end. And it was for me as well. You know, I carried on that year. We went really, so let's see, that was in January 2021. I graduate from that program. And I didn't, from that point, I didn't know what to do exactly, but I figured it out. We started through the slower times, listening to a lot of audiobooks and podcasts and different things, and just reading in general. I was intentional about those things, and I let my mindset go that once I was done with college, I didn't have to touch books anymore. as it turns out, they are very important to continue your learning and your growth.
That's true.
I forgot about that piece for a few years, but. So I made this plan. I was like, okay, I wanted, we have a kid on the way. I need to make this work. Like we live cheap. We could live off my wife's income, but it wasn't great. I just didn't feel good about, like I was honestly a very hard time for me. I was struggling with just on being very down on myself. And so every dealership within 2 hours of me, car dealership, I was visiting, seeing if there was anything that I could do for them and any cars to fix. And I was a lot of no's, a lot, and just kept going back week after week. I'm sure they're getting sick of me. And but eventually that I started gaining traction, and we got some work coming in. And I remember setting a goal. This is how like how bad it like at first that first month, especially like setting a goal of like, all right, I'm gonna make like $200 a week. Like this is a goal. Like, and I was making well over that in a body shop, like painting cars. And I had my wife, she was like, are you sure? Like she was worried about this really aggressive goal I have. And I mean, you look back on it and realize, like, whatever in hindsight. But so fortunately, we were able to meet that aggressive goal. And actually, we finished out the year. It was the financially, it was the best move we ever made that year. We made more money than we had in the past. We actually hit the goal that I had. I wanted to earn over 100,000 before I was 30 in a year working a job or whatever, what have you. And we actually were able to achieve that in that first year. So that was. I'm very thankful for that, those opportunities that I had, and the accounts and the people that
Yeah.
put their trust in me.
I have to say, I just want to congratulate you on that because that's not an easy thing to do, to be able to start from ground zero and then meet your goal, first of all, but also get to the 100K mark. Because from everything you've been telling me, from our backgrounds are very similar, is that that's like a lot of money. Think about like, how am I going to bring that in? I mean, there are people 100,000. What? It's all relative as to how much money you're surrounded by and what you have earned and been raised in over a course of time is what the value of money is. Because, you can make a dollar go really far in very different ways. But if you just look at a dollar as a dollar, that's simply all it is. Considering where you came from and what you did, that is an enormous accomplishment, Zach. I just want to honor you on that. That's great.
Well, thank you very much, Candace. Like I growing up throughout high school, like when you're reviewing what you want to do and I decided on auto body, like I literally for my life, like I just assumed like I was gonna make 30 to 40,000 a year. Like that's just what it, and that was just me researching like auto body online, which as it turns out, most of those median wages are I don't think very accurate that you find online. 'Cause, like you can earn more than that. And most trades are very good jobs
Yes,
right now. They are
they
very
are.
good.
Yeah.
I think it's overlooked by a lot and almost I'm not sure why it's looked down upon even, but trades, excellent market, excellent opportunities in them.
Absolutely. And one of the things that I noticed as well for myself, and also just being in business so long, and once I got, this to the stage where I am now, really understanding taxation, because that was, a big eye-opener for me was, okay, where there's a fine line in becoming self-employed, when do I change over to an LLC, an S corp? Or do I do corporation? All of these tax strategies to understand how to keep more of that income in my pocket by creating myself income streams from the same business in different tax strategies. And that wasn't until I was really, every time I had to pay taxes, I was just like, what? Because you work so hard and you just feel like you just work and you're doing this, you're just handing it over. And because I didn't have the knowledge to hire the right accountants that also really understood how to give me advice, unless I was asking the smart question, they were just like the H&R Block, just doing what I gave them. And so with that being said, moving forward, did you find that you needed to also think about like how you're going to change your taxation as you reached your financial growth? Have you even thought about that part, or what was your experience?
Yeah, absolutely. Just like you're saying, like taxes, like it's just you were working so hard to achieve certain numbers and you were giving, like, I don't want to say giving it away, but you were kind of overpaying on your taxes because, just like you said, if you didn't ask the right questions, they would just H&R Block it and call it a day. And so, really, in 20, by the time it hit fast forward to 2023, I listened to a lot more books, found out like Robert Kiyosaki was a great help to me throughout his different books, found out I should be working as an S corp. So that alone helped in taxes a great deal, but also really planted that seed of investing in my mind. And every idea starts as a seed. You just got to continue to water it and then let that grow into something. 'Cause we all get some wild ideas and we're not experts in the area, but you need to figure it out. And so at this point, the business itself was, it's grown to a brick and mortar store. We had purchased our location, added an employee and two other services and some other accounts. So it was just very hectic. I think, yeah, and plus we'd bring in subcontractors. It was a heavy hail year. And I knew I was at another point where it's like, all right, I need to figure out something to get some time back and help with taxes. And now that year I knew like re realistically getting a real estate property probably wasn't going to happen. It was end of November. I decided to enroll in a multifamily investing program. And I'm really glad it was a great program. I'm really glad I made that choice. It was a little bit of a wild one because we had another kid on the way again too. So like we're working this hailstorm, we got another kid on the way. I'm like, what am I doing with my life? Like, but So I set a goal by the end of that following year, we would have a property under contract, and I wanted it to be 10 plus units. And it was a lot of hours spent calling brokers, investors, Zoom calls, real estate meetups, you name it, trying to figure out how to run social media. Like, because I don't, a lot of us in the trades are very guilty of like technology bad. Like,
Yes. Oh, so bad. So bad.
I had to transform from finger pecking on a keyboard to like actually knowing how to use one of those, and maybe learning that my smartphone is capable of being smart, things like that. Whatever, we progressed throughout that year, and we ended up I ended up underwriting it was right around 100 deals that just didn't really check out, and I was getting kind of hard on myself. That takes a lot of time, and finally it was 2 weeks before the end of the year, so just before, right around Christmas, New Year's there, we got an LOI was accepted on this 23 unit apartment as well as a 39 pad campground, and so we and then that was the deal that we had closed on, and it was at the end of February that we had kind of touched base on at the beginning of this show. And now, while that deal alone isn't the start of, or it is the start of financial freedom for me, but it did not, don't get me wrong, I haven't achieved it because of this one deal, but I know now I can do it. It's helped help me build connections and good relationships going through that process, and helped me build confidence. And I know it's the direction that I'm going to continue going forward with. I love the multifamily space. It is great. There's so many, just meeting you, Candace, like honestly, there's so many wonderful people within this network and so many willing to help you out. And I feel good about being able to bring this opportunity to other people like myself that had no idea that it's a possibility. It's out there for everyone. You just, whether or not you just don't know about it or don't know how you can do it, I want to be able to help out in any way I can, and I think that's really one of my biggest callings in the in what I want to do.
That's fantastic. I feel the same way. When I after I had joined the multifamily mentorship and acquired properties, also invested as a limited partner. One of the things that I shared about too is that first of all, I was surprised at the number of people that really, no matter what income bracket, that they weren't really familiar with someone being an individual like myself, and particularly someone that's in a tradesperson. To be a part of something like that. I actually had a client who owns, as a joint venture, multifamily units with family members. And when I came with an investment opportunity to her, because I knew that she was familiar with real estate, she thought I was doing a Ponzi scam. We sat for 2.5 hours with writing numbers, and she was drilling me and asking me questions, and she still can't wrap her head around how could my landscaper be doing this. You get, I don't know about you, but sometimes you get pegged. This is your profession, and then somehow we're not educated because we're service in the service-based industry, which I will just add quickly that when a long time ago when I worked in a when I first moved here just for fun, because I thought I wanted to have a restaurant, I worked in the kitchen as a line cook. This is the education that was just in the kitchen of the five people. The wait staff person had a master's program. The dishwasher had a bachelor's degree. I had a master's degree. The chef did not have a degree at all. And the other cook had a doctorate. And that was the five people on the education that was in a restaurant that had nothing to do with the education level of, and specificity that we had gone into as individuals in that restaurant. And I was like, wow, there is so much intelligence just behind the scenes here. It's incredible. So I don't know if you experienced that at all when you started talking about multifamily. What was that for you?
Oh, it was exactly like what you're saying. A lot of times the trades, I think we do tend to get a stigma, and from certain people that think that like that's all we're able to do successfully. And that's just not, in my opinion, it's not the case. I know it's not. We can literally do, like you did it, I'm doing it. We're all capable of it. And also on that note, like You get that, like you touched on, like the Ponzi scheme thing, like we're just making something up, and it's not the case. And also, there's you got to be careful, like even like there, you will have family members that will really knock this and think it, you're crazy, you're gonna ruin your life, you're gonna, you got, all I can say is you got to be careful. But like people like to encourage your quit goals, like I'm gonna lose weight, or you know, those lose goals. But when it's your go up goals, not everybody is very willing to support those. They like to, they don't want somebody, a lot of people don't want to see you succeed, unfortunately. And that can even be within your own family. So just keep your head high, and know you are capable of a lot more than you think you are.
Zach, that was the best advice ever to give someone that's on their financial journey. It is so true. And just know to surround yourself and careful how you share your dreams. Be precious with your dreams and who you share those with so that you can remain whole in that. That's one of the reasons why I wanted to start off with the self-praise showcase part in the podcast is because one, we can only compare ourselves to ourselves, and then therefore we are able to move forward knowing that we are moving forward instead of backwards. But with social media as well, if we watch that and compare where we are, as you know, we're not just because we're in multifamily properties doesn't mean we've reached financial freedom. That's not necessarily how this is portrayed out there. And so that's one of the things that I like to bring into the podcast as well, is that level of honesty and transparency, like you just shared.
I don't I'm a very honest person. My wife says I can be too straightforward at times. Like it's apparently it's okay to lie once in a while, like for an opinion. I don't always apparently do a very good job of that. And but I don't see any benefit in lying. It doesn't do any good to pretend like you're well beyond your means or anything like that. You touched on like taking those photos by the jets, things like that. Like people will literally just go and take those photos by a jet and to pretend on Instagram, LinkedIn, like seriously, like why? What good does that do for you? It supports a false image, and I don't know. That's just not my style anyways.
Mine either. Zach, we're getting close to the hour, and I know that out of respect for time that you have to run. I appreciate you coming on the podcast. I think our listeners have got so much. I got so much out of just having here you on the podcast and sharing, hearing about your knowledge and your journey. I'd love to have you on and say like a year and see where you've gone from there. That would just be a fantastic thing to hear about your progress as we move forward. Anything else you want to leave other than, we'll have your contact information, but go ahead and, any other tips that you want to say to the listeners and also where people get in touch with you.
Yeah, absolutely. I hope to be on here in a year again, Candace. This was wonderful. I really do appreciate it. You can find me on LinkedIn, just Zach Knoll, just my name. That, like Candace said, that'll be in the bio, my email and phone number as well. My biggest thing, don't forget, books don't end at college. Like you can continue learning. It's a wonderful thing, and keep your head high, and we can all accomplish a lot more than we think.
Oh my gosh, so good, so good. And also remember, which I totally love because I don't have the patience to sit and read. Audible has been my ultimate best friend. I will plug them because I'm gonna tell you, they have books that come out immediately when something hits the shelves. You can get it on Audible as well. And for me, that's the way I learn. And I can land, I don't know about you, but I certainly can landscape and I listen to a book. Two, sometimes two books a week.
It's funny you touched on that. Like, yeah, we'll have to wrap up soon, like you said. But I know, like, Audible, big fan. Yeah, huge. I don't even know. I should look at how many hours I have on there, but I can fix a lot of hail cars while listening to Audible.
Yeah, and I'll end with this, and just so that people have an idea of how much it can affect your life. So I called them once because I wanted to return, because you can, certain number of books a year you can return. So I called them to do a return, and before I even started asking for the return of a couple of books, the gentleman on the line said, "Wow, you've been with us for, I can't remember how many years it was. But you have really read a lot of books. Do you know that you've read over 522 books since you've been with us?" And I was taken back because if I was able to finish one book a year, that's the difference. And being able to learn how you learn, what is really that one type of learning skill, the way that you learn, whether it's tactile or audible. And some people do have to see the words. So that's something to take in consideration when you're moving forward in your financial journey as well. And it sounds like you found yours as well, Zach.
Yeah, I can. I got the hours in. We'll have to compare how many books we've both burned through on Audible.
That's right. We'll have our competition. Do you have any other, before we leave, do you have any books that you would recommend for people to start out?
I think this is going to be a pretty stereotypical one, but honestly, Rich Dad Poor Dad by Robert Kiyosaki. That was the one that planted the seeds in my head. Financial Freedom with Real Estate Investing by Michael Blanc. And if you're like me and like when I first got into this, it's not so much now, but I had a lot of anxiety at first when I went out on my own. And all of Zig Ziglar books just helped me realize the importance of goals and staying on track and just helping me overcome my fears. Those are probably three of my best favorite authors that I've listened to and really helped change me.
Oh, awesome. I'll put those in the resource page. And also, if you haven't listened to Robert Kiyosaki's Cashflow Quadrant, that to me, that was like the Rich Dad, Poor Dad, and then the really like understanding how money works, which that's how my brain always is digging into. So, but that's another really good one. So we'll have those in the show notes as well. Thank you so much, Zach. This is great. I can't wait to have you on.
Awesome. Well, thank you, Candace. I appreciate it.
All right. Thank you so much for our listeners. And I just wanted to remind everyone, do something today that your future self will thank you for. And remember that you are your own genie in the bottle. You really do have the power within. Just surround yourself with people that believe in you. And if you don't have it, just know that we do as well. Thank you so much and have a great day.
The info in this podcast is straight from our personal experiences. You alone possess the power to manifest your desires. You are the genie in the bottle, awaiting your command. So ask smart questions. We're not licensed financial pros, so be sure to consult with a licensed professional, attorney, or tax consultant.